It's about 8 a.m. on a recent Monday morning, as the rising sun burns off the low-hanging fog and fishermen haul in their morning catches from the Greenbrier River. At Sprouting Farms, the day is well underway. Produce has been harvested and safely stored in a giant refrigerator. Employees are packaging cherry tomatoes, activities you might find at any of the farms that dot the Greenbrier Valley. But while the daily tasks are handled at this production-scale vegetable farm, the crux of Sprouting Farms' mission goes beyond the fields at hand.
So I feel like, you know, the demand is there. I've never really had that issue. It's just, how do we get supply and demand to line up, and how do we get the infrastructure in the middle to sort of pull it all together?
Sprouting Farms project director Fritz Bettner takes me on a tour of the 83-acre farm. The goal of this project is to break down barriers, physical, financial, and market-based, so farmers can be successful in West Virginia. While no one thought it would be simple, over the last year, the project has learned a lot of lessons.
We still have a long way to go in making that happen.
As we walk out of a faded red barn, a row of white plastic-covered greenhouses or high tunnels looms in front of us. Some of the 30 greenhouses are used by Sprouting Farms itself, but others are rented by local farmers who may not have the space or ability to invest thousands of dollars into the equipment needed to be a farmer.
So this high tunnel is one of our renters, and she rents monthly. This is her second year. And here we're not even talking about food. She rents it and has a cut flower business. And so she grows a lot of these flowers for, you know, weddings and restaurants and things like that.
An abundance of bright pink and yellow flowers adorn the high tunnel. Sunflowers peek out merrily from the back. Renters pay $30 per month for a 30 by 100 foot high tunnel. That includes electricity and water. For a few dollars more, they can use the farm's tools, including the tractor.
This offers her the opportunity. I mean, if she had to go buy her own high tunnel and invest all the infrastructure, that was too much. But this was an opportunity for her to grow her business here.
But what if you want to be a farmer, but you don't know how?
I'm Ruby Daniels, and I go by Ruby D.
Beckley resident Ruby Daniels came to Sprouting Farms in March to participate in the project's apprenticeship program. Daniels' family history is steeped in farming. Her great-grandfather was a slave who came to West Virginia to cut coal out of the seams before that job was done by machine. After he was injured, the family ran an orchard and a restaurant in the area. Daniels has a master's degree in science and therapeutic herbalism, and owning her own farm has long been a dream.
But I didn't know how to figure out the numbers. Like, how do I figure out if I need 20, you know, if I want to sell 20 pounds, how do I figure out the number of plants I need? I didn't know how to do that. So this was a good program for that.
She shows me some of the things she has planted in the 200 square foot high tunnel she shares.
So that's comfrey right there, bee balm. So I'll put some more in there. These are my green beans that I just harvested. So some more coming out. And these are dill peas. And there, see that's the pea. And that's what they'll start filling with, like beans.
She makes herbal teas and tinctures with the herbs she grows and says Sprouting Farms has given her the tools she needs to expand.
This is like a good farm for teaching an apprentice or somebody that doesn't know about farming, because you can see things, and everybody does farming different.
Bettner, the project manager of Sprouting Farms, says by running their own production farm, they can workshop the best ways to grow on a larger scale in West Virginia, which doesn't have big swaths of flat land like the Midwest or California. And he says the farmers who rent or train here also benefit from having the staff and tools on site.
And so one day I could say, you know, rent two greenhouses and here's an acre and you can make a living doing it. The hope would be one day that would be possible. Not only like, you can do that, but here's exactly what, you know, you could grow right now in order to do that. And we get to offer that assistance.
In 2017, Sprouting Farms received a $1.5 million grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission. The project was an inaugural recipient of ARC's Power Initiative, which provides federal dollars to coal-impacted communities. The goal is to diversify and help these economies. Coal mining isn't common here in Summers County, unlike in many southern counties in the state. But the region has long supported the coal fields and timber camps by producing food for hungry workers. Today, coal trains run right alongside the farm 3 to 4 times per day, a striking reminder of the state's long history with extractive industries. But while the ARC grant has helped launch sprouting farms, Bettner says there's still a big obstacle before agriculture is a viable economy of scale here.
But we know that here, the markets are a challenge.
That's true for small farmers across the country, says Todd Schmidt, associate professor at Cornell University, who studies agribusiness development in rural communities.
The market access issue, particularly in thinking about collaborative marketing operations, cooperatives, food hubs, is something that is providing beneficial to small-scale producers.
Food hubs are a centralized location where farmers can bring their food for processing and to go to market. Schmidt says across the country, food hubs are expanding as more restaurants, grocery stores, and other institutions seek more local food because increasingly their customers ask for it. And food hubs can hugely benefit small farmers, of which West Virginia has many. The state leads the nation in small farms. Of the more than 20,000 farms here, 97% of them are considered small, and 93% are family-owned, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But making a full-time living off farming alone isn't feasible for most small farmers. Most vegetable farmers in West Virginia bring in less than $50,000 a year. Once expenses are accounted for, it's hardly a good living. Selling more produce or higher-value produce to restaurants or grocery stores could help. Food hubs become the middlemen, but in a good way. Farmers tell the hub what they have to sell. The hub aggregates it and delivers it to buyers. A restaurant may be getting squash from four different farms, but it's delivered by just one entity, the hub. Having access to a food hub has been a benefit to Roger Dolan, who owns the Wild Bean in downtown Lewisburg. The hip coffee shop also serves vegetarian fare and does a rockin' trade in smoothies.
We usually go through about 15 pounds of mixed greens a week. We get spinach, tomatoes, green peppers, cucumbers, lots of kale, which we use in our green smoothies and salads and make soups with.
Dolan has always tried to source as much of the produce the Wild Bean uses locally, but says it was hard juggling communications with multiple farms to get what he needed. Then he found a food hub. He says, sure, sometimes there are challenges, but overall, it's a boom to business to be able to advertise that they use local food.
We're putting money right back into our local economy by supporting local farmers that are going to come to our shop and spend their money. You know, it's just like a cycle. We're each helping each other out.
And this fall, the two largest food hubs in the southern and eastern portions of West Virginia are converging.
We're trying to achieve some economies of scale here, and hopefully to get West Virginia agriculture products into bigger markets.
Brandon Dennison is the founder of the Coalfield Development Corporation, which runs a farmer training program called Refresh Appalachia. Its food hub in southern West Virginia will join Sprouting Farms' to become the Turnrow Appalachian Farm Collective. That means more local food will be available to buyers on a much larger scale. The West Virginia Department of Agriculture estimates West Virginians consume $8 billion worth of food annually, but the state only produces $800 million. If this food hub can boost the amount of locally produced food bought by West Virginians by just a few percentage points, it could have big returns, says Jim Mattson, an agricultural economist based in South Carolina.
We're not trying to replace every amount of food that comes in there with local food in most cases. We're just trying to add a little bit to it that can help to support these local families, add to local communities.
Back at the farm, Bettner and I climbed to the top of a hill to get the bird's eye view of Sprouting Farms. As we look out over the land, he reflects on the work they've accomplished so far.
I mean, I'm happy with the progress that we've made, absolutely, what we've been able to accomplish. But also, you know, there's like an extremely long way to go.
Bettner says as the project goes into its second year, it does so with more data and feedback on what has worked so far and what hasn't. But one thing he doesn't question is people's appetite for more local food.
Sort of our goal is not just to make this site work, but like make the whole, you know, regional food system work. And we have lots of farmers and partners that are very interested in seeing that happen.
Sprouting Farms has two more years of federal funding from the ARC for the first phase of their project. They're hoping that in the meantime, they can find a way to be more self-sustaining, bringing a profit to their organization to continue after the grant runs out. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Brittany Patterson in Talcott, West Virginia.